gentle peoples, we have Mick Mish here, who has a wonderful project called Lagan's Love. And I am saying that right, right? I've been all the time.
That's pretty good. Lagan's Love.
Lagan. See?
But everybody says Lagan, so.
Okay. From now on, we're going to say Lagans.
That's the Irish. There's an Irish song called My Lagan Love.
Yes. Which I think you've got a version on. Do you not? Yeah, I think you do.
It's on there. And
we didn't play that.
I've always loved that song, so.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a cool name for a band.
I like that. And the gentleman to your left.
Exactly.
I got that right, huh? Is Mr. Chris Bolger, who's got, hey, Chris, how are you? Welcome.
How's it going?
It's going all right. You know, we muddle through. And, you know, you, sir, have been named, I believe, as the producer of this project.
I guess that's true.
I like that.
It's very important. I discovered early on that producer helps in a studio, especially somebody who's experienced in a studio. I've never been in a studio before in my life, not even to witness or watch or anything like that. So originally I was thinking of making this CD, a live CD, and recording it somewhere, but somehow the one project fell through that I was going to do it that way. And then I was talking to Chris, and he thought about this studio right here. Mozart is
very close by.
Yeah.
It's like 5 minutes from here. It's in Clifton.
Wow. Oh, okay.
And this guy, Mozart, that's his name, Mozart.
Yeah. I like that. I love his music. I mean, he just, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
different guy.
Okay. All right. Different one. Oh, okay. All right. That's good. I try. Okay. So go ahead, please continue. So this thing, I understand, has been kind of a passion of yours.
Yeah. I decided if I'm going to make a CD, make a good CD, make it the best. You know, this is going to be here forever. You might as well do the best you can.
Yeah.
And I discovered early on that in order to do that, it takes a lot of time in the studio, and it is worth doing. How
long did it actually take? I mean, I know those things. Bill runs up when you're in the studio.
They do take some time, and the thing is that, what Mick wanted to do was fairly ambitious, which is that he wanted to bring a lot of very separate things together.
Ah.
I mean. I guess you should tell them a little bit
people.
Back of, well, different people, but also a different sensibility than would be, you know, if you record an Irish record in Ireland with Irish musicians, I guess you would get one sort of result. In the case of this, we're mostly Americans that played on it, but also, your ethnicity, I think, figures into it too.
Well, I'm actually Hungarian, and I married an Irish woman 22 years ago, and I kept going to Ireland and going in the pubs and hearing this music, and I said, I gotta learn how to play the baron, this Irish drums, so I can sit in sessions with them. And then I just started taking lessons in Rockaway on the Irish drum, on the Irish tin whistle. I even spent a week in Ireland on an island playing nothing but the Irish drum. It's called the baron.
Yes.
And then I was taking singing lessons as well to learn how to sing in Gaelic. So my wife's friends and family were like, how the hell does he know Irish, Irish language better than us?
That's
but
awesome.
I only know it for a few songs. I don't know I don't know the whole language.
Well, I'm familiar with the baron because we had a band and the name is escaping me now, which is a shame because we only put one CD out. This is quite a long time ago, but they were great guys. And, we were doing a little tour, taking them around to various, music retailers and places of note. And, they were kind of, I don't know if it, Bono had this label, over in Ireland or whatever, but they were kind of protégés.
Not Hot House Flower.
No. But it was at that same time. Hot House was on Polygram.
Yeah, there was a big breakout of Irish music at that point because of
Horse
Lips' success.
No, I want to say Tuesday Blue, but somehow I'm not sure that was because there was another band that had a similar name, but completely. Huh. In fact, it was the guy who had the hit with Norah Jones. He was in this band.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just things just go away when you get old.
But they had a lot of fun, right?
And what we did was we actually were busking in, Faneuil Hall in the Quincy market.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, they got into a little hot water because, you know, the police, you know, kind of shoot us. But it was great fun.
We don't busk here.
Yeah, it was awesome. So anyway, that's my usual long way of saying, you know, I know exactly. I mean, the barn is a fun, you know, instrument. I imagine it takes coordination.
You can do a lot of variety with it. And I ended up on this island finding out about this Christian Hedwig Baron for $500.
Ah.
But the thing is, you can play like three octaves on it. Like you just start the low notes and go up.
Oh.
Depending on the tension you do. So
okay.
You know, you learn different rhythms.
So the tension would come from the second hand?
Yeah, yeah. Your left hand just pushes in and you raise the
chain. Gotcha. Tone. Interesting. Yeah. Chris, you've got an awesome instrument with you.
Yes. Which has absolutely nothing to do with Irish music.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things that I think is kind of interesting is, you know, what is an Irish instrument?
Mm.
And, you know, people, well, the penny whistle, kind of, the boron.
Right.
Ilian pipes and bagpipes, but bagpipes are also Scottish.
Yeah, usually think of the Scots.
But most of the instruments that are used in Irish music were co-opted from other places. Fiddles, you know, all throughout Europe. And, you know, so there was no instrument that has to be. Guitar is, you know, I mean, we view it as sort of an American instrument. The steel string is American, but you know, it really comes from Spain and Portugal, and you know, it's originally a gut string instrument. And so what is an Irish instrument?
And the bouzouki, you know? he has an Irish bouzouki.
Right.
There's a Greek bouzouki, but they
I think you played it on the album.
But again, that's an instrument that was adapted to Irish music. Originally, it was a bowl-back instrument like a mandolin and used in Greek music.
Yes.
That's, you know, the name. And somewhere around the 60s, when the renaissance of traditional Irish music got huge, they started bringing in bouzoukis, and now there's like a flat-back version of it that looks more like an American mandolin. And that's probably one of the only really Irish instruments, because they did sort of modify it to their needs, you know.
Gotcha.
It's you know, but
you know, good music doesn't have to, you know. Chris plays the banjo on the CD as well. That's about as American as it gets.
Yeah,
but it fit in well with this kind of music.
Right.
That's what we
and
like.
Again, it shows up in a lot. They would grab anything they could. The reason why they use wooden flutes is because when the metal flutes became in vogue, Irish being poor, got the hand-me-downs, which were the wood ones.
Yeah.
You know, but they have a kind of a sweeter sound, I think, you know, the wooden flutes.
Right. Well, we've been, you know, we've kind of let in, and I'm wondering if we shouldn't, you know, we've got folks out there who haven't heard
anything.
The CD yet. Some who have, we know that, because I got to believe some of your fans are kind of aware of what we're doing tonight.
So why don't you play track four?
Okay, let's do that.
Track four is a song called "Tell Me Ma," and that's
one of my favorites.
It's an Irish children's song, my keyboard player Dan took it. You know, American. His keyboard style on this song was very American bluegrassy. Mm-hmm. So I said, let's go with that. So Ray, our guitar player, put in a solo that evokes Turkey in the Straw.
Ah.
And then this guy, Mark Schaefer, I know, he's an old-time fiddler. He's really good in that style. That's his forte. So I got him doing a fiddle solo. And then Chris adjusted the harmonies on that we start with. So it's Chris and I and Dan harmonizing this at the very beginning.
Great. All right. So what we're going to do now is... I was gonna do it again. I want to say lag. See, I always want to say lagging. Tell me the right way to say this.
Lag.
Like my old pal
He's
at the Devils
behind.
Lags. All right, Wagons Love.
Picking it up.
All right, and so why don't we give you a little music, get you started, And we'll be back in a minute.
Tell me, Ma, when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. They pull my hair and they stole my comb, but that's all right till I go home. She is handsome, she is pretty, she's the belle of Belfast City. She is Corden, 1, 2, 3. Please, won't you tell me, who is she? Albert Mooney says he loves her, all the boys are fighting for. Knocking at the door and ringing the bell, saying, oh, my true love, are you well? When she comes down white as snow, rings on her fingers and bells on her toes. Well, Jenny Murphy says she'll die if she doesn't get the fella with the roving eye. Tell me, Ma, when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. They pulled my hair and they stole my comb, but that's all right. But the wind and the rain and the hail blow high, let the snow come traveling from the sky. She's as nice as apple pie, she'll get her own lad by and by. When she gets a lad of her own, she won't tell her ma till she gets home. Let the others do as they will, but it's Albert Mooney she loves still. Tell me, Ma, when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. They pull my hair and they stole my comb, and that's all right till I go home. She is handsome, she is pretty, she's the belle of Belfast City. She's Corden, 1, 2, 3. Please, won't you tell me, who is she? Scouts were all around me, and likewise Captain Farrell. I first produced me pistol, for she stole away me rapier. I couldn't shoot the word, so a prisoner I was taken. Mushery, da-ma-do-da-ma-da. Whack for the daddy-o, whack for the daddy-o. There's whiskey in the jar. They put me in a prison without a writ or bounty for robbing Captain Farrell on that famous Kerry Mountain. But they didn't take me fists.
All right, we're coming back here. And there's Chris.
Whiskey in the Jar. That track started out with Dan on the lead vocals, because I found, you know, there's actually seven verses that I found. Usually people do like four verses of that song because it's a long song.
Yeah.
But I found seven verses and I wanted to record that because it tells a very good story. So I wanted to do the whole thing. So I figured let Dan sing three verses and I'll sing three verses and then let Dan sing the last verse. Mm-hmm. And then in there, you may have heard a whistle solo. That whistle solo was not intentional. I was just, you know, I was recording that whistle part that is in the middle of every chorus. There's a whistle part, da 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 da, which is actually funnily reminiscent of something that Thin Lizzy has in their version.
Ah, okay.
But I changed it around. But so I was just fooling around with the whistle, you know, waiting for my next time to play.
Yep.
And because Mozart had the recorder going. So then we decided to keep part of that. We had a little accordion solo and then the whistle solo. So, you know, it worked out. You know, it's amazing. In the recording studio, stuff happens that you really, I mean, the whole experience was like that for me. Just, you know,
wow.
You know, things that are not planned, but you think of things and,
yeah,
you know, Chris had some good ideas in a few different songs.
I mean, it's always what you want to do is you want to go in there knowing ideally every note that you're going to play and who's going to play it and what it's going to be on. But there's always things that are going to, you're going to have happy accidents that pop up and it's, well, you take them and you run with them, you know, but you always want to have a plan, you know, and really a method that you're working with and then let the good fortune stuff just kind of happen.
Yeah.
That's the best part about booking a long period of time in the studio. Cause if you have the time, then this stuff can happen.
Right. Right.
You can improve things.
Well, let me tell everybody out there, you listen to Radio Nowhere on WMSC. We're here for the good graces of the wonderful students and folks the students run the radio station here. They let us come out here on Sunday evenings from 7 to 10 to bring you all kinds of different stuff, including what Jordan plays and some of the things I like. And we really just did two of my favorites from the album. But, you know, did you ever hear the Grateful Dead version of Whiskey in the Jar? You know, Jerry's done some of that stuff as well.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
No. I think Jerry's done a version, and then there's actually
Clancy Brothers.
Course. Yeah.
That was just a great song.
It really is a great song. But let's go back to your, you know, to your project. And
so I think the next song is probably one of your favorite songs on the CD as well, because you know Dennis Dykin.
Yes.
Through Chris, I got to meet Dennis Dykin.
Right.
And Dennis on the drums is unbelievable. And this next song is a song I really wanted to do. You know, one of my favorite groups is like the Raspberries, Go All the Way, or like the Beatles early stuff. I Feel Fine, Badfinger, you know, that power pop stuff. And Chris is like the expert on power pop.
Yeah.
And Dennis is the expert on playing drums on that kind of music.
On all of those things. There's no question. He is a... walking encyclopedia.
That's true, too, yeah.
You know, not only in the mind, but in the skill set, you know. And Chris, we know as well, you know, from being, you know, playing with... Not from playing with Dennis, but he plays with Dennis quite a bit.
In Bell Sound. He's in the band. And that's a great...
You know, and they do a whole bunch of things. But Chris as well has that background... You know,
experience.
Again, another encyclopedia. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, he's got books on the Beatles and how they recorded, you know, like, you know, they double track this, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So we wanted that sound. And I had written this song a couple of years ago. And then when I came to the point where we were going to record it, I decided to, since I was going to go in this vein, I added a riff in the beginning of the song. So that was like the first, that was one of the first things I added. And then I was telling Chris that I really wanted a bridge in the middle of the song because it's four verses. You know, it would be boring if it just went that way. So then Chris came out with this great strumming guitar that evoked like Pinball Wizard, the opening for Pinball Wizard a little bit. It was a little, it's different, but that's what it came down to.
It's got that spirit.
Yeah. And then Dennis was listening, you know, when we finished, I thought we were finished. Yeah. We're not finished, but, you know, we were getting there. And Dennis, you know, thought that the bridge was too long, that, you know, that it needed something else in there. And I was kind of resistant. I wasn't happy about adding anything into it. But then what we did was we split the bridge in two. And then Chris added, Kostadin and Chris put their heads together and they added this Beatlesque da-da-da-da-da, you know, this arpeggio into the bridge. And the other thing that happened at the last minute is once we had already started recording, is I realized that lyrically, I needed, the story's about a guy who leaves Ireland to come to America and, you know, whatever, supposedly to have more fun or whatever, more...
Better life,
you know, but yeah. It turned out to be too busy for him and everything. But in the lyrically, I didn't put those lyrics in. I needed another verse to bring it back to, you know, why is he going back to Ireland? But then if I did that, it would take too long. So then I came up, you know, I'm gonna have a second bridge. So then I wrote lyrics for a second bridge, you know, near the end of the song.
Bridge
and then
to nowhere.
Dennis. Dennis goes wild.
Thanks to the bridge.
You got to listen to Dennis drum playing in the second bridge. It's unbelievable. He just, you know. Actually, Chris described it best. He goes, "You got Dennis or something," in that second bridge. And then to top it all off, at the very end, Chris was saying we should have the last chorus be like a mob singing. You know, a bunch of guys singing together. So we did that.
You know, sort of drunken Irish.
Right.
Ball,
sure.
Bar,
yeah. In the pub. Yep.
But then Chris found this melody that fit over, like a counter melody. There's a song called Donal Abu. And it played right over our melody. Like it was the exact right amount of time, right chords, whatever. So you'll hear this melody in the background. And, you know, and then the harmonies, like Dennis and Chris added great harmonies. So just the whole song came out, you know, amazing.
The magic
maybe
of the studio.
Let him hear it.
Yeah,
what are they
absolutely.
On about here?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's it. But that's why we're here. A little talk, a little music, and then Jordan will. You know, she gets to take a little break, right? And plug the songs in. We got to give props to Jordan here too.
Yes.
Because
thanks for letting
like,
letting us sit in your seat over here, Jordan.
She's all right. She's
and,
all
and
right.
I really like your middle name. In fact, I like it so much. Yeah. I named my daughter Elizabeth.
I understand is quite a musician on her own.
She's on the CD. She plays fiddle in a couple things.
Well, she helped concoct one of the lines that's in there.
Yeah, actually, this riff, Elizabeth was playing piano while I was trying to think of the riff.
Yeah.
So I borrowed like the first 60% of the riff is from Elizabeth playing on the piano. And then I added the last part of it. I took part of the melody from the chorus. Where he began, that became the end of the riff. So I just put that together, and it worked out great.
All right. So I think this is a good way to get in there. All right. Let's play a little music for you. Wagon's Love.
Daddy climbed Kilpatrick and sang across the sea about the crack that his new life would be. No waking at the crack for tractors hauling back the grain. No more singing vainly in the rain. He left his home in the bogs of Mayo. He left the place where he began. He left his life in the bogs of Mayo. Tired of cutting turf with his two hands. Sports car, super fast and sleek, but it sat in a dark garage all week. His days went faster than the car, dragging him along. His perfect song had gone a little wrong. He left his home, in the bogs of Mayo. He left the place where he began. He got a raise, he couldn't say no. He went with the flow without a plan. They sowed some seeds and drank real Irish tea. But it wasn't Kilkelly, no farms, no family. Erin's Green Acres was where they should be. Back to the singing in the pub, dining on rashers and mess. But back to the golf, each bright rainbow and hills and quarries of Mayo. Back to both all their parents' smiles, selling the player and at the Lyle, playing the gym and wheels and spoon. Back to the friends and land they knew he left his home. Feel the earth with their own hands. Let's all go back to the lines of Mayo, all the way down where we began.
Yeah.
All right, we're back. WMSC Radio Nowhere. We're at 90.3, or if you just jump on our website, which is WMSCradio.com, you just click on it. Boom, you got us on the web. 90.3 doesn't always go quite as far as we'd like it to, but we've got some other good radio stations out there that we share the frequency with. So you just put that laptop on, hit that button, and you got us, folks. And you get stuff like this with these very talented musicians.
Thank you.
And a wonderful project.
And you said you like the Rickenbacker in that song.
You know what? I have to say, you know, being... very much, you know, we can go Beatles, but for me, the Rickenbacker sound, you know,
birds.
The birds, you know,
yep.
And you know, well, the Raspberries too, right? Exactly. You know, so all of those bands plus countless others,
yeah.
but that influence, and when there's certain chord changes, there's certain riffs, there's certain things that just adhere to you, you know, to your being, and hearing a Rickenbacker is just...
it's a very joyful sound.
Music to my ears. So I love that. I really do. And of course, Dennis drums, as we mentioned before, you know.
But speaking of those Rickenbackers, I want Chris to tell you where those Rickenbackers have been.
Oh!
What albums they've been on. And
Very cool.
There's actually two Ricks on that. There's a Rickenbacker 6-string and a Rickenbacker 12. The 12, I used it a lot with R. Stevie Moore.
Oh yeah,
who's,
sure.
Used to live here in Montclair.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's on a bunch of things. It's also on Bobby Cole's record, who's another friend of ours. Anybody who's again from, if you've been in Montclair for a while, you know the Soda Pop Shop, and Bobby Cole writes songs, and I worked on his record, and
right.
So it showed up on there. But I guess the most interesting thing is, at one point Jim Babjik. Mm-hmm. They were working on, the Smithereens did two Beatles-related albums. They
yes.
did Besides the Beatles, and they did the entire Meet the Beatles albums.
Right, yep.
Well, as it turned out, Jim, who has several Rickenbackers, they were at Rick, all his Ricks were at Rickenbacker being overhauled because they were doing a concert for some Rickenbacker anniversary.
Okay.
Anyway, so he didn't have a Rickenbacker to record the Beatle records with, and so that's...
that's where
mine
very
all over,
cool.
all over
yeah.
those records. That was kind of
yeah.
fun, you know.
So,
I think it gets around.
I sang on an instrument that was used for Beatles officially
yeah,
songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
the Smithereens.
Like, you know, everything's interconnected. You know, I don't care if it's what Jordan plays or we play or any. They're, you know, they're really. It's soul.
You
it's
look.
The,
you go long
soul.
Enough, and you'll find everything. I mean, you know, yeah. you don't think of, you know, what does British Invasion have to do with Irish music? Well, you know what? There's more than you think, because a lot of the Liverpool bands were of Irish extraction. They, you know, Lennon McCartney. You know,
yeah.
McCartney. What kind of name is that?
Right.
You
know? Right.
And they were, you know, the children of dock workers who were, you know, Irish immigrants to England
sure.
at the time. You know.
Absolutely.
So it all.
It does. It's all big very soup. Yeah. It really is a soup, and that's why. What's interesting is when, you know, the kids come in to do the show with me, we do find a lot of commonality. You know, I mean, you know, she plays Ryan Adams. You know, last week she had Civil Wars and Freelance Whales that I had on my playlist. She had on her playlist.
Cool.
So, you know, so there is that.
And my daughter's getting into the Beatles. My 12-year-old daughter.
Yeah, see,
she likes the Beatles songs.
You know, she's a Dylan. She's now a Dylan fan, and slowly but surely we're getting her dipped into the waters of the Grateful Dead.
Slowly.
She's resisting, but not too much.
So while the CD does have this kind of stuff on it, it does also have a lot of traditional Irish music in it. We have a lot of instrumentals that are, you know, traditional Irish jigs or reels, or I have one on there. It's a 90s. It's called a slip jig. And we also have a song on there called She Moves to the Fair. And that's a Shannos style song, which a very traditional Irish way of singing is they'll sing a song totally unaccompanied.
Yes.
Or what I did on this is I have a fiddle just droning, just no other instrumentation, no chords, just a fiddle droning. And my purpose of playing this for you is because, and also on the CD, also on that song is Aideen O'Donnell singing harmony. And she was just recording a different song, but she heard what I was doing when she moves to the fair. She said, "Can I please sing harmony a little bit?" So Chris and her worked out a harmony for like the last line of that song. But the song after that I want to do is Spancel Hill, which is normally done in the same style. But if you're in a band, you're playing out, you can't play too many slow songs. So I was looking for something that was up-tempo, and I thought Spancel Hill, the middle of the song actually has a lot of positive lyrics to it. Mm-hmm. So I said, let me put energy into the middle of the song. But this is the only song where we actually went a little bit creative with special effects. Because the song starts at the guys in a dream. So there's a lot of reverb and echo in the beginning. And then also, there's a line in there, the cock crowed, the cocky crew, when the guy wakes up. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of effects there.
Mm.
So, but Chris and Mozart, you know, helped me back from adding too much effects. Like I was going to go wild with, you know, going for the left, going for the right, and add sounds here and there. But they're right. You want the thing to sound live. You don't want to make it sound fake. So we try to keep it as, you know, down to earth as possible. So
I think you succeeded. And now I guess we'll let everybody in on some of those little secrets, right?
So track 12.
All right, let's do it.
Please.
My young love said to me, my mother won't mind, and my father won't slight you for your lack of kind. And she stepped away from me, and this she did say, it will not be long, love, till our wedding day. She last night, as I lay dreaming of pleasant days gone by, my mind being bent on rambling to errands I lied did fly, I stepped on board a vision sailed out with a will till I gladly came to anchor at the boss of Spancel Hill. Enchanted by the novelty, delighted by the scene, where in my early childhood I oftentimes had been. I thought I heard a murmur, and I think I hear it still. 'Tis that little stream of water at the cross of Spancel Hill. It being the 23rd of June, the day before the fair, sure errand sons and daughters, they all assembled there. The young, the old, the stout and the bold, they came to sport and kill. What a curious combination at the fair of Spancel Hill. I called to see my neighbors, to hear what they might say. The old were getting feeble, the young ones turning gray. I met with the tailor Quigley, he's as brave as ever still. Sure he used to fix my breeches when I lived in Spancel Hill. A flying visit to my first and only love. She's as pure as any lily, as gentle as a dove. She threw her arms around me, saying, Mike, I love you still. She is Mac, the ranger's daughter, the bride of Spancel Hill. I thought I stooped to kiss her, as in the days of yore. She said, Mike, you're only joking, as you often were before. The cock he crew on the roof. He grew both loud and shrill. I awoke in California, far, far from Spancel Hill. But when my vision faded, tears came in my eyes, in hopes of seeing that dear old spot once more before I die. May the joyous King of Angels his choicest blessings spill on that glorious spot of nature, the cross of Spancel Hill. As I lay dreaming of pleasant days gone by, my mind being bent on rambling to errands I like to fly, I stepped on board a vision and sailed out with a will, till I gladly came to anchor at the cross of Spancel Hill.
Spancel Hill.
Spancel Hill, which is a not really a town. It's a little like location in Ireland. In fact, I sent my wife's brother there to take a picture for one of the pictures in a CD. And he kept looking and looking for a town. All there is a little sign, you know, Spancel, the cross of Spancel Hill. But that's, you know, where this guy, he left Spancel Hill to go to America and he was dying and he wrote this poem. Mm. And I don't know if you heard at the very end there that the accordion comes in, just very like a little, just pops in out of nowhere. You know, we were just about, that it was wrapped, but then Chris said, you know, let me hear that sound if you punch up the accordion just a little bit at the end. And it was brilliant. So I was very happy Chris came up, you know, he heard that and he just added that accordion at the end.
That's the, I think the, not that I would say I'm any kind of an expert in these things, but, you know, even though you don't want to manage by committee, a lot of times when you've got all these, you know, or a number of different minds, musical minds, just kind of go pop, pop.
Well, you have to make the most of it. The worst thing that you can do is take a bunch of guys that have talent and abilities and then tell them, this is what I want. I don't want you to do anything, but don't defer. You know, well, why bother having Dennis Dykin on drums if you're not going to let him play like Dennis Dykin?
Yeah.
Why, you know, I mean, you know, why repress people's creativities? This is where you want it to come out.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really key is in any song, you're trying to keep people interested throughout the whole song. If it stays samey through the whole song, at some point it sort of becomes a drone. If you have moments like what you talked about with the accordion, you know, that's, Dennis calls it ear candy.
Mm.
It's these little things, these little events within a song that keep it interesting, that, you know, it may be totally subconscious, but you want to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, and that moment in the song, if you like this little event that happens, you kind of are waiting for that event to happen in a song that you like. You know, Brian Wilson's, you know, arrangements are so, you know, so full of that.
Yeah.
Beatles too. And I mean, there's lots of spontaneous things that pop up in songs.
You know, like you say, George Martin was always considered, you know, that extra mind.
The mad scientist.
You know, the mad scientist, right? Mm. Yeah. All due respect to a real mad scientist.
Well,
you know,
the conventional wisdom in any business is if something works, you do it ad nauseum until it doesn't work anymore.
Mm.
You know, the fact that he was willing to let them take some chances and even encourage them, that's a huge risk, but one that if it pays off, it pays off huge dividends, you know, so.
And no question. Throw it out there. See what happens, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this next song is another one that, you know, we got a very original arrangement for. It's actually the title track of the album. It's called My Lag in Love, which is a song I've always loved. And it's actually the only song that our guitarist doesn't play guitar. I play guitar on this one. Ray Gehringer is an amazing guitarist. He has we're not going to get to his fingerstyle, but he has a great Mogil Lemaire fingerstyle thing on there. And he has, you know, great solos here and there. And he's just very solid. But this song is called My Lag in Love. And I knew the chords to it. So I wanted to play guitar on at least one track on the album. So this is the one I picked. So, and it had to be solid because I was singing at the same time. So you couldn't take the guitar out of it. It had to be totally live.
Yeah,
so I did that, but I kept it simple. And so we decided to have Chris add Bouzouki to it. And that was working very well. And then at the very end, like we already had the amazing harmony vocals by Christine DeLeon. You'll hear her just like a nymph, because it's about a nymph, actually. Mm. And she has this eerie way of, she's a great soprano. Not eerie. she's very,
haunting.
You know.
Angelic. There you
angelic.
Go, yeah.
She's angelic. And actually, I'm going to want you, could you start this at 222, you think?
I don't know if I can do
that. I just sprung this on you.
Yeah.
So, you know,
but,
we'll just start. Well,
yeah, I mean, we got time here. You
we'll
know,
do
we
the
can...
Maybe we'll do most of the whole thing then.
All right.
So we may not get to her vocals, you know, near the end of the song.
Yeah.
But when
you know what we could do while we're talking here, let's see what
else
we can do here, and
I'll keep talking about the song,
and then we'll see if we can just load it in at that point.
You're right.
So we got about 2 minutes or so, and we'll go.
And the other thing that Chris. He was trying to. He wanted to add something else to it, and then he was talking about the bass guitar, and I said, "I don't think so. This is not. You know, bass guitar is not going to work on this. I mean, what are you talking about?" And then he said, "You know what? A fretless bass might work." And so, lo and behold, Kostadin is unbelievable. He has all these instruments hanging on the wall. He's got a grand piano that is unbelievable with $10,000 microphones. Record that, but he had a fretless bass on his wall. So Chris grabbed a fretless bass, and you'll hear how it fit the song perfectly.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. All right, so we're probably a little early.
Why don't we get in here.
And all right, here
My
we go.
In love.
For love is Lord of all, and often when the Beatles' horn hath lulled the eve to sleep, I steal unto her shealing lorn, and through the dooring peep, there on the cricket's undertone. The song of heart's desire, her welcome light, her love for me is from the heart within. Her warm kisses felicity that knows no taint of sin. And when I stir my foot to go, 'tis leaving love and light, and feel the wind of longing blow from out the dark of like a lovesick Lenon, she hath my heart in thrall. No life have I, no liberty, for love
we're back. Wagon's Love.
That was Christine DeLeon with that harmony. She's a soprano at a church like I am. I'm a cantor at my Church of Resurrection, and she's a cantor as well. And you can tell with that soprano voice. But I have a lot of other great, like Aideen O'Donnell sang on here, another great voice. She's a harpist. She's played at Carnegie Hall. She's an amazing harpist. Amy Bryant played fiddle on a few things, and she's my daughter's violin teacher.
Oh,
and she was actually the first to actually play with me live when I first started doing this Irish stuff.
Yep,
way back when. And John Kalacki's on fiddle. He's in the sessions in Rockaway that I go to. Jerry Papetti on the drums. He played on Whiskey in a Jar and Randolph. I have a song Randolph that we're not going to get to, but I wrote a song about my town.
Very cool.
Joe Graziano, electric guitar. Mark Schaefer, we heard from before, in a fiddle. And Mozart actually played bass on one song. He engineered the whole thing, and he actually contributed bass on one thing. We know about Chris and Dennis playing on it. But there's one other instrumentalist that I haven't mentioned yet, and that's Ildikó Hajdú Németh.
Wow.
She's a Hungarian fiddle player. She's actually taught my daughter as well some Hungarian fiddling. But this next song is Danny Boy. I actually translated Danny Boy into Hungarian. So I wanted a Hungarian fiddler to play along with it. So on this track 15, what I did was I sang it first in Hungarian. Then I did something else I've never heard anybody else do, which I spoke the words to Danny Boy over the fiddle. And then we finished off with Elizabeth. The first time I heard her do this, I got tears in my eyes. And she was very calm in the studio. It was amazing. Even on fiddle and on the singing, she was pro. I mean, she's used to playing in public, and so she was really good. And then at the end, I wanted to add some clarinet, because that's a Hungarian instrument. So I had this clarinet that needed to be overhauled. The guy overhauled it for me, and because I play saxophone, but the clarinet's a little different fingering. But I worked out this amazing, intricate, clarinet stuff. And Chris said, "I don't think so. It's a little it's a little too busy." So he brought me back a little bit. So I put a little more simpler clarinet on there, and it really worked out better. So I was glad, I had these extra ears to guide me.
Well, I guess that's kind of the part of the theme here, and it's to me, having you all here, you know, I've heard the album, we've played some tracks, but to talk about the intricacies of how this all came together, to me, is just fascinating, because I'm not a creature of the studio either, you know, but it really is.
So you don't have like times back in the day where you were in the studio?
Only here.
not on the record label?
No. You know, my big claim to fame is Billy Squire, Christmas is the Time to Say I Love You, making noise in the background of that song. If you hear it at the very end, there's a couple of portions on there where they brought us in.
Jingle bells,
you know,
or something like that, yeah.
Gave us they gave us some drinks, if you will, some beverages, and said, make some noise. Right. So that's my claim. Yeah, so
make it a
party. Seriously. Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, I mean, that's it. So I think a lot of our folks out there, to hear how these things come together is fascinating.
Yeah, it
really is. I appreciate you doing that. So before we go into Danny Boy, tell us about what you guys are up to. I mean, Mick, I gotta believe that once March rolls around, you get pretty busy.
I already got a call like last month for, you know, I got booked at this. We got a return for a party in Denville on the 10th, but we're playing in Rockaway at the Exchange on the day.
Oh,
on
awesome.
March 17th.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and I'll get a few more gigs in March as well.
Yeah,
nursing home.
You have our,
ear
invitation to let us know what's happening with you.
Thank you.
Chris, the same thing, because
he's got a number of different
projects.
He's in 10, 15 bands.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we want people to hear what you got. We all met at Charlie Blood's the first time when you're... which band was that with Dennis? Was that
The Upsiders?
The Upsiders, right.
Right.
Okay.
The Upsiders is basically a blues and swing with a bunch of, you know, interesting chestnuts peppered through it.
Yeah.
And Dennis's own project, that's Bell Sound, where he's actually playing all the stuff that we perform, the stuff that he co-wrote with Pete DiBella. And, you know, hopefully there'll be another Bell Sound record in the not too.
That would be awesome. We even talked about and invited folks over to the Morris Museum when, for the big New Jersey. There was the big exhibit there. And then Dennis and you all did a kind of a concert, but really just, you know, it was a lecture or a concert masked as a lecture, I think you'd have to say. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There was a lot of different things
that
happened.
Very informative,
you know?
Very fascinating.
Yeah, and some good sounds, you know, really.
To get people like Jimmy Wisner, you know,
who's,
I mean, you know, if you're a pop-aholic like I am, you know, this is a guy that, you know, your average casual listener isn't going to know. But when you realize all the things that this guy has done over, I mean, he started with Cameo Parkway, and, you know, in Philadelphia, and then, you know, and then did all these amazing New York recordings, 1, 2, 3, he arranged that, co-wrote Don't Throw Your Love Away, which is a big hit for the Searchers, did all the Tommy James stuff, and this is a guy, I mean, he's a really lovely human being, and, you know, a real gentleman, and this is not a forum that a guy like that normally gets, you know, but he loves to talk about music, you know, anybody who's passionate. So it was really cool to have people like that and the Brigatti's who are
wild. That was very strange. From the Rascals.
They didn't have to sing Entertain Us.
No,
they didn't play that night. They just got up on stage and talked, and the stories. In fact, I got the, I haven't read it yet, but the Tommy James book, because he mentioned it.
Oh, sure.
You know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I do have to read this because I saw some side of that.
I haven't read
in the business.
I haven't read it yet, but boy, am I chomping at the bit. This is all the stuff that
there's
I wish I could have seen.
Amazing. Right. You know? Well, I saw some of the latter part of that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was interesting, and a little scary. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know anything that's got that kind of money involved in it, you know, is going to draw some
can go different ways.
Interesting
sure.
elements. Yeah.
You know.
Anyway.
So,
speaking of money, I wanted to give one more shout out to my wife, Trina.
Ah, yes.
Because the CD would not have happened if she hadn't given me the gift of, you know, being able to just spend all I wanted to get the thing to top shelf quality.
Bravo. Now, folks are going to be looking for this now.
So I got a website.
If they haven't already, but.
CD Baby, Amazon, Digistation, you know, it's up on iTunes. It's everywhere.
Yep.
It's up there.
Great.
Lagginslove.com. I have to, update that website, but it's out there.
Very cool. All right.
Thanks so much for letting me.
We did all of this. We got to make sure we get down to how people find this record.
Thank you.
Not just here, you know? Absolutely. We've got to. I did that side of the business.
You used to do that.
I was sales and marketing. Hell yeah. Yeah. So as much as I yap, we got to get down to it here, folks. I mean, we got a great, you heard some awesome stuff. So now we need everybody to show a little love. Lagan's love.
15 great songs on there.
Yeah, it really is. All right. So we're going to take it out with Danny Boy. I want to thank you, wonderful gentlemen, for taking the time out on a Sunday. You know,
no problem.
I don't know if you're going to miss the start of the next Iron Chef, but so,
what?
A running joke. Yeah, it's all right. They haven't gone over that great tonight.
Jordan's very impressed.
She really is.
She didn't just roll her eyes. No, she didn't do that.
She never does.
No.
She never does. All right. So here we go. Lagan's love, Danny Boy, and guys, go out and find the CD. It's easy to find. And I think you're really going to like it. Here we go.
Daniel Yerek, Dudak, Dudak, Ivna, Havud Visham, Medlea, Hedvidik, Anyar Marni. És mind a virág meghalnak, utazol te, de itt maradok még. Te gyere vissza, mikor nyár van, ahol rét.
WMSC, Upper Montclair, New Jersey.
Friss fehér hó, én leszek ha napos vagy, ha sötét. Daniel gyerek, szeretlek jól.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the flowers are dying. Tis you must go, and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley is hushed and white with snow. Tis I'll be here, in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, Danny boy. I love you so.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the flowers are dying. Tis you, must go. I must buy. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. Tis I'll be there in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so.
All right. My thanks to these wonderful gentlemen. And I want to let you know a couple of things here. You're listening to WMSC, the home of independent and underground radio. coming to you from the campus of Montclair State University. And we're here from 7 to 10 on Sunday evenings, Radio Nowhere, with Jolton Joe the Mad Scientist and my lovely sidekick, the very lovely Miss Jordan Elizabeth.